Hello, I'm Alison Larkin, writer, comedian, narrator, and host of the Jane Austen podcast. Join me as we embark on a journey through Austen's timeless stories, starting with Pride and Prejudice. The Jane Austen podcast with Alison Larkin is available wherever you listen to podcasts.
Let's hang out.
Let's hang out.
And let's talk about what lesbians have found.
Let's hang out.
And let's listen to two lesbians shout.
Let's hang out.
Let's hang out.
Hey everyone, welcome back to Les Hang Out, the podcast where you need to raise your hand if you wanna get laid tonight.
No one can see me raising my hand.
You're doing it. Yeah. She's raising it
I'm
so
raising
high.
It so high you can't even see it in the Zoom. Hey.
From the West Coast, I'm Lee Holmes Foster.
And from the East Coast, I'm Ellie Brigida. To those of you who have been with us through this whole journey, thank you as always for listening. If you're a new listener, welcome. We're excited to have you here. And here's what's happening this week.
Hey, listeners, I want to take a second to give you a peek behind the curtain of the podcast industry.
No surprise, it's a bit of a boys' club. Only about 28% of charting podcasts are hosted by women, even though women audiences listen to podcasts 20% more than men. Women also control 85% of household purchasing power in the U.S.
So the question is, why are our voices undervalued in this space? One company that's working to solve this problem is Asa Collective. We are proud to be a member of this platform that connects women podcast creators with advertisers to amplify and support underrepresented voices.
If you'd like to support Asa's efforts and learn more about the company, they are running a crowdfunding campaign on StartEngine to become one of the first podcast networks owned by its listeners and members. That's you and me.
So visit startengine.com/Asa, O-S-S-A. That's startengine.com/OSSA to learn more.
Let's hang out. This week in the Lesdom.
This week in the Lesdom is a place where we can touch base each episode about things going on with the podcast or otherwise. We want to give you all another reminder that we are still in our Journey to the Heart crowdfunding campaign. We extended for another month. Now we are about 20 days left. And we really, really need your support. We're almost halfway to our goal. We just really want to get further to that 55,000. So if you can help us and support, you can do that at bit.ly/support journey to the heart. Also, in the greater lesbian universe, a few things have been going on. One article that's been circulating around, I don't know if you've seen it on your social media pages, I definitely have been seeing it, is that an out lesbian director told Golda Rochevelle, who plays the queen in Bridgerton, to stay in the closet. And I think that this is a really important article because I feel like a lot of people say, oh, you know, you don't have to worry about being gay in Hollywood anymore. But this is an actor who, like, was very recently told that she should stay in the closet to protect her acting career and chose very actively not to. But even people in our own community are saying this, right? An out lesbian director said this to her, and probably because this director was out and experienced discrimination because of it. And she was like, don't tell anyone you're gay because I don't want you to, you know, have a harder time here. But the point is, people are still having a harder time.
Disappointing.
Right?
So still disappointing.
I just think it's important for us to know, to note that while there is some progress, it's still not easy to be an LGBTQ actor in Hollywood.
Mm-hmm.
So important.
Important. Tell me about this next one, Ellie, because I have not seen anything about this.
Oh my God, yes. Okay, so I felt like you would really like this, Lee. As I was doing my lesbian news Google search, I found this. There is a new play by Iman Qureshi about a lesbian choir. It is called The Ministry of Lesbian Affairs.
Sounds like this is our jam.
Like,
I'm in.
Delightful. And Iman, have you heard of the show The Inheritance, Lee?
No.
So there's a play called The Inheritance. It's like a very intense gay story, but guess what kinds of gays?
Men.
Yes. Gay men.
Yes.
So, and it's a beautiful
story. I feel like this sounds like it's a trick question.
Yeah. So it's a beautiful, it is a beautiful story. But Iman said in the article, she was sitting in the audience of this play and saw all these gay men sitting around her like, experiencing this collective gay story that was written for them. And she was like, it was a beautiful moment. But I was like, I, as a lesbian, want to have more of those moments for myself. And
we
so she
are
wrote,
familiar. Yes.
So she wrote this musical and I was like, Iman, have we met? Like, we should connect.
Incredible.
So I just felt like you'd really enjoy that. So
I do enjoy that. Iman, hit us up. Let's hang out.
I think the play is happening in the UK. So Iman also wrote a pretty successful play called The Funeral Director, all about being Muslim and lesbian. So she's been writing great stuff. And I agree. We need
Incredible.
To meet her.
I think we should. Yeah. Next time we're over, you know,
across the pond
in England, we'll hang out. Okay, we have one last thing that we need to say, because somebody just mentioned to us on Twitter today that we are somehow snubbing Our Flag Means Death, and I swear we've talked about it. If we haven't talked about it, it's just because we've been posting about stuff all over the place and we can no longer keep track of our brains. But of course, we are excited about Our Flag Means Death, because we could not be more excited about gay pirates as we work on a gay pirate musical right now. Crazy.
True.
And also because our fave Vico Ortiz is in it and they are delightful and should play all of the gay pirates in all of the things at all times. So
agreed.
We meant no snub. We mean no snub. We
I
are
am
thrilled.
Pretty positive we have mentioned it in This Week in the Lesbian before.
I feel like we have, but I just wanted to make sure, because I just want to make sure all of our bases are covered. So in case we have not yet mentioned it, please go watch Our Flag Means Death if you haven't
agreed.
Already.
That's what's happening this week. Back to you, Ellie and Lee.
Thanks, Ellie and Lee. And welcome to Season 5, Episode 18. That's right, our next installment of Les Essentials.
Les Essentials is a recurring segment on the show where we dive into classic lesbian movies or TV shows.
And as a reminder, we are also now writing and recording original songs about all of our Les Essentials movies, and we have a damn bop of a song at the end of this episode that you're going to want to stick around for. It is called Fantasy. It is hitting a lot of like high school me, you know, just like punk pop jams. And I am very excited for you all to hear it. That's all.
It's going to be so great. And you know that we had to do a good song for this, because for this Les Essentials, we are talking about the 2014 musical comedy Girl Trash All Night Long.
Incredible.
Girl Trash, this exclamation is... point. All
Girl Trash, exclamation point, All Night Long, written by our fave Angela Robinson. We were talking about this. I think this is our third Angela Robinson film
we've
done now.
It
so
is.
Listen, we love you, Angela. This is a prequel to the web series Girl Trash on rchart.com, which neither Ellie or I have watched anything other than the first episode
which was chaos.
So if we are, you know, missing any greater context, please feel free to email us at leshangoutpod@gmail.com. Let us know.
Oh my God.
Let us know what we're missing.
I'm pretty sure Monique is in the, you know what I mean? Is in the, what's
oh
it
God,
called?
I hope so.
Is in the web
in the,
series.
In the series?
Yeah.
I hope so.
So it makes a little bit more sense when she comes in here. But I also do feel like we have to talk about the actors really quickly before we dive in, because the cast is pretty great.
Oh. I didn't even read our IMDb synopsis yet, Ellie. Why are you trying to take away my joy from IMDb?
Because don't we usually say who's... I realize I didn't write who's in the cast on there. Like, usually we say starring.
I mean, literally everybody. This cast
usually
is
I say starring
insane.
Before the IMDb, but you can go
okay,
to IMDb.
Okay, fine. Starring who? Tell us who's in it.
Okay.
Go ahead. List all of the names.
I will list all the names of the people who are starring in Girl Trash All Night Long. Lisa Riefel playing Daisy. Michelle Lombardo as Tyler, Gabrielle Christian and Mandy Musgrave as Colby and Misty. We all know them from South of Nowhere. Rose
Spashley.
Rollins as Monique. Honestly, every single person from The L Word also is in this.
It's a damn who's who of The L Word.
It
yeah,
is.
It's great.
Wild. But yes, please, Lee, now I need to hear the IMDb synopsis.
Okay, listen. For anyone who is not yet familiar with the absolutely bonkers roller coaster ride that is Girl Trash exclamation point All Night Long, here's the IMDb synopsis. The story of five girls and one epic night. The girls will find love, lust, girl fights, rock and roll, and a whole lot of stone sorority girls.
What? Honest?
I love whoever wrote this IMDb synopsis.
Honestly?
This might be the best one we've ever had.
One of the best.
Right?
Ever.
Like easily top five.
Easily. it is pretty accurate to what happens. I mean, there's a lot of other shit that happens in there, but that's really what it is. Yeah, it is one epic night. I also would like to say that people have been suggesting this film for us for a very long time, and I'm just happy that we're doing it because it is chaos.
It's been on our list for a while, right?
Yes.
It's been on there for a while.
Also, I have only seen this movie once, Lee. Also. Yeah. So I saw this movie once before I was like, hey, people have been suggesting this. I remember it like a weird fever dream. Maybe we should do it. I think you would like it. And then I like was honest.
It literally is a fever dream.
I was honestly
this
like
whole movie.
I watched it probably must have been like 2016 or something. That's also crazy that I probably watched it like pretty soon after it actually came out. Cause I'm like, wow, this was such an old movie, but like I probably saw it when it came out. I'm just glad that you liked it because I was like, it's a crapshoot. I'm like, I remember finding it funny, but like couldn't tell you.
It is pure chaos. We just had our watch party with our patrons for this movie. We had an absolute blast. Once again, join our Patreon if you want to join our watch parties. We have a great time.
It was also one of our best attended watch parties.
Yeah, yeah. People,
so many
were
people
excited
were
about this, which
so
like
fun,
they are correct.
Yeah.
But we were saying while we were there that like, here's the thing. So this is our third Angela Robinson movie. And I feel like what's funny for me is like when you compare Angela Robinson across the films that we have covered and the difference in budget of
oh my
those
God.
Films
extensive.
And the difference of, you know, it's like you have Debs, you have Professor Marston, you have like this, it's like it's a musical, it's who, like they're all so different from each other, right? Like all of these movies are so different from each other, but at the same time what I think they have in common is Angela Robinson knows how to make a movie that is fun to watch.
Oh yeah.
Like have like the same way that you sit and watch Debs and you're like, Debs, it is absolute chaos.
Bonkers.
It is so bonkers. It's so crazy. So much of it is so stupid. And it's like one of my favorite movies ever. Like I could watch this movie over and over again. And I feel like I would just enjoy it every time. It's enjoyable.
It's
fun.
Delightful. And I just
it
feel
really
like
is.
I said this at the watch party too, but like the acting in it, kills
yes.
me because
yes.
to be
they're committed.
They are so committed that I believe every single ridiculous motivation that I believe it fully
it's
every
so,
single
it's so ridiculous
character. I believe
it's
it.
So
I'm
ridiculous.
Like these actors. Like it's just the most ridiculous movie, and I think like Oscar worthy performances. I'm not even being dramatic. Like
give them all Oscars, honestly.
Daisy,
just give them all the Oscar.
The one who played Lisa, who plays Daisy.
Yeah,
I think this is like one of the best performances. Like she
it's
embodies
incredible.
Embodied.
It's incredible.
Daisy.
It's, you know what it reminds me of is like, you know how if you go back and you watch like some of the earlier seasons of Buffy where you're like,
yes.
listen, it had not quite gotten to the point of like taking itself that seriously yet. And it was still pretty campy and it was still pretty low budget and the monsters were still pretty ridiculous. But fucking Drusilla, like there is not a moment, there is not a millisecond of time that Juliet Landau is not 1000% committed to the role
yes.
of Drusilla. That is Daisy in this movie. Like she is in it to win.
I love
she
that
is
you,
there.
That you compare Daisy, whose entire
yes,
whose entire motivation
listen.
Is I have to get my ex back and I have to win the band slam to like centuries old
to Drusilla.
Vampire.
To Drusilla, whose whole thing is like, I have to talk to the stars tonight and I have to carry this doll with me
yes.
while I murder
but,
people.
But exactly yeah. the same,
same
amount of commitment.
Same people,
that's
same character.
The same thing that I said about an Oscar worthy yeah. performance. Like, I'm like,
she's incredible in this. I think we are both, we are on the same page. She's incredible.
She's incredible.
That's the point. The point of the story is
yes.
she's amazing.
So let's dive in. Yeah, let's,
yeah,
dive
let's
the
kick
story.
Us off. Well, and because Daisy's a great place to dive in because Daisy is the first person you meet in this movie, right? Our opening scene, we meet Daisy and we meet Tyler. And Tyler is every Shane wannabe stereotype wrapped up in one character.
So much. Oh my God, it's painful. And that is, I mean, I can't with Tyler. Like, I never like a Tyler type in Tyler, the lesbian
Tyler is
cinema.
A collection of red flags in a tank top walking around and talking. That's
yes.
it, right? Like,
yes.
the girl is just one giant red flag.
And I mean, the second we see Tyler, it's literally Daisy walks in on Tyler sleeping with someone and she literally yeah. does not care. She's like, oh, were you having sex? Didn't notice. And then Daisy's like, I'm going to sing.
Yeah.
Like, how long into this film until someone sings? It's very short.
I think like under 10 seconds.
Yeah. It cracks me up.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, it's a musical, but like the way that she just goes into it. And then the girl who she's sleeping with is like, why is she singing?
Who doesn't love an opening montage? Like, nobody.
Love it.
It's a classic. So, yeah. So Daisy starts off our musical montage because we're going to learn about all of our characters real quick in this song, right? And this is why montages work so well. Like, this is why a intro song like this just nails it, right?
Exactly.
Because we meet Daisy and we meet Tyler. And what we learn about them right away is they're in a band. They're going to be playing at Bam Slam tonight because every other band on the lineup had to drop out.
Every single one.
And so they are in. They are in to Band Slam. And this is going to be it. This is their big break. They're going to make it happen. This is their dreams coming true. But hold the phone, literally, because who is calling Daisy?
Colby.
It's Spencer.
Her name is Colby in this movie, but yes, Spencer.
I can't remember it. I can't. I can't keep them straight. Yes, it's Colby. Colby, her sister, who is played by Gabrielle Christian, and she's got to go to a bar to hit on a girl because she's gay now. Listen, tale as old as time.
Yes, I also will say, oh my God. Like, I will take it because it's 2014 and it, like, is comical, but I'm like, the amount of times that Daisy tells her sister she's not gay, I'm like, oh, Daisy, honey. No. Like, she's literally came out to you 25 times. You're like, no, you're not. You're not.
No.
I'm like,
no.
Only one gay.
Can't be gay.
Only one gay in the family. Yeah.
I also, listen, here's the problem is if you want me to remember that her name is something other than Spencer, you have to make her character something other than Spencer. She's so the same person.
Exactly.
Right? Like, she's got the same hair. Like, you tell me that you could not just pick Colby up and drop her in an episode of South of Nowhere. Like, same person.
Oh, yes.
Same person.
To be fair, both.
Same outfit. Like, she's like, I'm in a sorority, but also I'm into girls. And you're like, yeah, I get it. I know who you are. I know exactly who you are.
The zip-up hoodie, like, literally sends me. I'm like, you are trying. I know it's 2014, but I'm like, I'm going to keep saying I know it's 2014, but
wait,
like,
I'm sorry. Hold on. Wait, let me,
yeah, put on the zip up, but you're like,
I've got
it. I'm going to hook up with this girl tonight. This is my outfit. A zip up hoodie that she constantly has
Hold on. I'm literally putting on a zip up hoodie for Ellie right now as we speak.
Half
there we go.
Zipped the entire time. So make sure you're half zipped up. And then she puts her hands in her pockets for half the movie. Like, you don't even know if she has hands.
The classic zip-up hoodie, which I am now wearing, still a staple of lesbian outfits all over. What I'm going to say is you can tell I'm in 2022 and not 2014 because I'm not wearing a V-neck t-shirt under it.
I'm wearing
a buttoned-up short-sleeve button-down. So
that's the only difference, though.
But otherwise, listen, this look still slaps, Ellie. Don't hate on this.
It's a green hoodie, though. Yours is black. It's like a
mine's clearly classier.
Yeah. Oh God, I just can't with the outfit. Like, she's like, I just really want to impress this girl. Like,
and she does.
She does with her dazzling personality and her romanticism, but. It just cracks me up. She does not change out of that hoodie this entire time.
It's iconic. It's an iconic outfit
beautiful.
Choice. Listen.
So what is this song? Sorry, what is this song? Do you remember
okay,
how
the
it
song,
goes?
The song is called Finally. Yes. And
Finally.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's the one. It's the one I sang at the top, right?
Yeah,
that's
yeah,
also
yeah.
part of this song. This song goes on for a while.
Yeah.
Because so we meet Daisy and Tyler. We meet Colby singing about how she's going to go and get the girl of her dreams tonight, finally, right? Like, I'm going to get to be me, right?
Yeah,
that's
she's
Colby's
have her
verse
first
in this.
Girl
I feel like I just want to snap this
yeah,
whole
her
time.
First,
this is going to be really fun for everyone listening
sex.
To the recording. Okay, then we meet Ashley Davies. What's her name in this? Misty?
Misty.
Misty. We meet Misty. And Misty is played by Mandy Musgrave. So we have our immediate Spashley reunion, which, like, I mean, just feed it to me with a fucking spoon. I'm here for it. Great. So we meet Misty. Misty is an aspiring actress. She's in LA. She's auditioning to be Slutty Bimbo on the Bus number 6. She's singing about how this town is so fake and you just, like, nobody's a real person. And
nobody gets
this
her.
So lonely. Nobody gets her. It's, you know, it's, listen. It's, you were saying after the watch party that this is, like, such an encapsulation of, like, 2014 LA lesbians and, like, chef's kiss. It's just, it's beautiful. I love Misty. I love this scene. I love the audition scene where she walks in and says, like, one word.
I know.
What does she have? She gets one line and it's like, is that seat taken?
Yeah.
And that's it. That's the audition.
There is nothing more than I love than an actor playing an actor in a movie. I don't know why, like, it just gets me.
It's incredible. It's incredible.
It's so
She
good.
Gets the Misty's verse in this to me is the Jamie's verse in The Flame.
Mm,
it's
yeah,
just the sudden ballad.
So, like,
you know, like, it's the slow-mo. I'm walking slowly while everything is happening fast around me. It's a little moodier. I'm a sucker for it. Like,
and the split screen. The split screen happens
yes.
so many freaking times in this film. It's a perfect device.
It's incredible. So, yeah. So we get this whole introduction to all of these characters. And then we get the best character introduction that has ever happened on film.
Monique.
Right? Monique.
Wild.
We meet Monique. And I mean, God, I just can't. This whole movie is just going to be, or this whole episode is just going to be me talking about how fucking gold this movie is. Introing Monique with an immediate rap reprise of the song that just happened. Because it does kind of end, right? Like, they kind of end the first.
Yes. You're like, oh, this song's done.
Component
and then you're
of
like,
the song.
Oh.
And they're like, they're all in the car doing their little thing and they're going. And then all of a sudden, Monique walks out of jail. And now we get the, like, rap reprise hot on the heels. And it's just like, what?
What is
happening?
I love what the two
happening?
Guys in the car with her, too.
I
that pick her
just,
up. Like,
I don't even know. I don't even know what to do with it. It's so bonkers. I wish I had the lyrics to Monique's segment up in front of me because I would just read the whole thing through. And it's like, Monique as a character too is so funny to me because I'm like, part of me wants to be like, I'm like, is this offensive? Like,
I know, this, honestly, it is.
Is
it's
this
pretty
problematic, like, 8 years
is, yeah.
down the road? Because I don't think this is great that this is literally, like, the only black characters
yes.
in this movie are, like, straight out of jail the whole time.
Yeah. Yep.
And, like, that's not great.
Yeah, it's very, like I said, very specifically 2014.
It's, oh, yeah, it is very
yeah.
of that time. But also, like, I fucking love her in this role. She just seems like she's having so much fun the whole time. So I can't complain too much because I feel like it's bad, but also it's not, it's, like, delightful at the same time. I don't know where I land on it. I know.
I think, like, let the movie be what it's gonna be. Like, it's all ridiculous.
I think you have to.
It is all chaos. Like,
it really is.
And Monique's
so
character
chaotic.
Is ridiculous. So we see yeah. Monique, who's, like, ready to come and get Tyler.
Yes, Tyler owes Monique money. That is going to be the only driving factor that we know of for Monique's character in this entire movie, other than she's also very into golf, not with golf balls, but with people's
teeth.
With people.
Teeth. Yeah, yeah, with humans, yeah.
Very into golfing into people's faces
yeah.
with a golf club. So yeah, so that's our first opening scene, right? Our opening scene is we have met all the kind of, like, big players, and then We have this immediate, the car breaks down. Well, the van breaks down. Daisy and Tyler's van breaks down. And so they have to call Kobe to come pick them up in her car so that they can get to Band Slam. But before they go to Band Slam, they're going to take her to truck stop to pick up Misty. And how does that go, Ellie? How does she do?
It is literally the most uncomfortable conversation I've ever seen in my entire life. I didn't know that human beings could be that bad at talking to people. Like, yes, talking to women, but like talking to humans.
Yeah.
It was so painful.
It's pretty bad. I'm going to say, listeners, listen, I'm not going to promise that we could always give you like the best tips for like picking up girls, foolproof advice, whatever.
I'm just kidding.
But Ellie's like, just go make out with them.
Just go for
it. What I can tell you is this. Watch this scene and do literally anything
else
other than what Kobe does in this scene. Because this is the worst you could do, I think, right?
Also, it's just so gay. Like, her whole thing is like, I bought you a coffee once because you forgot your wallet and I paid for you. And I'm like, this girl does not remember you for shit.
No, and it's so bad.
And then she's like, oh, yeah, my friend, whatever. And they're like, please, like, just leave. It is so painful. It's so painful.
It's rough. Yeah. It's rough to watch. And it's rough because it's also like she's trying so hard.
She tried so hard.
I do think that it's like this is new for her. You know, like she is still kind of a baby gay. She's having that like, just first shot failing miserably attempt at like hitting on a girl. It's not good. You really feel for her in this scene. So listen, there's so many steps between like being Tyler in this movie when she hits on Misty in a couple minutes and Kobe in this movie in this scene.
Yeah, you can find your place in between.
Aim for somewhere in between those two and you're going to do great.
You'll be great, sweetie.
You're going to do great. So she strikes out hard.
It's hard.
And goes to fight with Daisy outside the car. I do love their sibling chemistry with each other.
They're hilarious together.
Like, it's believable, right? Like,
yes.
They're fighting about a sweater, like, outside of the car and just, like, screaming at each other, and it's cute. I'm here for it. Meanwhile, Tyler's taking it upon herself to make this happen for Kobe. She's like, we're gonna find your angle, we're gonna make this happen. The problem is, of course, that Tyler has never once thought about having a conversation with a girl more than 5 minutes long once she has
in bed. Like, ever having to continue the lies, because I cannot.
Yeah, no.
Tyler is like the definition of lesbian misogynist. Like,
oh god,
just like
terrible.
You gotta just like lie to girls. Oh, like if you lie to them, you sell them on the fantasy, then like they'll sleep with you and they'll love you for the night, but like you never call them back.
When we talk about the predatory lesbian,
Tyler is it.
It's Tyler. It's bad,
it's
right?
So bad.
And I mean, listen, like here's the thing. Here's what we should all learn from Tyler, gentle listeners. What we should all learn from Tyler is confidence is attractive. Confidence works. Because realistically, what does Tyler do other than walk up and just look confident in a way that Kobe failed at?
Fails so miserably.
Kobe with her little sweater and her little hands tucked into the sleeve of her sweater saying like, I bought you a latte the other day and it was super fun, versus Tyler going up with a, you know, cigarette held between her fingers just being like, you got a light? Like, that's it. That's literally all it takes. All you have to do is then not be the fucking worst.
Yeah, so you say got a light, but then you just don't lie after that. That's it.
It's not even the got a light. It's just
the confidence.
The attitude. It's just the bearing, you know? You just don't hold yourself like you're afraid somebody's gonna like push you down and kick dirt in your face.
Colby. But
she's so adorable and so sad.
She's so adorable, so sad. So we have all these lies that Tyler tells about Misty, the aspiring actress, and Colby's uncle, who's a casting director for Angelina Jolie. And that's going to be like the thread that keeps Misty interested throughout half the night. And then, but to be fair, it works. Tyler gets Misty and Misty's friend, who I have no clue who Misty's
friend is. Her name is Sid, but I think I called her Nikki through the whole rewatch. Nikki. Because listen, this is our second. So we had Monique, who was Tasha in The L Word. Now we have Sid, who is played by Kate French, who was Nikki in The L Word. It is, when we say this is a who's who of The L Word, like, it is so fun to see all of these faces. And here's the thing, is like, kudos to Angela Robinson, because when you want to make a delightful gay bonkers musical, and especially in 2014, right? Like, think about it. I'm like, this was such A-plus casting to get like all of these familiar L-word faces for the like slightly older crowd of lesbians, and then the spashly casting for the slightly younger crowd of lesbians that you want to watch your movie. Like, it's just,
oh, it's
so
brilliant.
Good.
It's brilliant.
It's
casting.
So brilliant. It's incredible. So yeah, so we meet
we get
Sid.
Them all, yeah.
Sid and Misty have been co-opted for the evening with this lie of a famous uncle who's an agent that's gonna, you know,
make them
connect
famous.
Them, rubbing elbows with Hollywood royalty. So we now have a packed car,
which we love. Classic lesbian shenanigans. Five girls in a car. Just saying.
Oh no.
What happens in that car, Lee? It's not what you think, listeners. It's not. I'm suggesting this. It's just people hanging out in a car.
What does happen in that car?
Do they sing?
I lied. Sorry. This is the song I was singing at the beginning of the episode. What am I talking about? This is 2 a.m.
Yes.
Not 1 a.m.
2 a.m.
Because we've got things to do.
Yeah, yeah. I just love, the music is top notch. It's like perfect for what it is. It's so silly. The lyrics are so ridiculous. Like, they just like perfectly encapsulate like how stupid and good the movie is. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah. The lyrics are ridiculous.
It's incredible. So we get this song where everybody's going to be singing about like, what are their hopes and dreams for the evening? A lot of it is Colby just singing about wanting to sleep
have
with
sex
Misty.
With Misty, who's literally sitting right next to her.
Yes. Yeah.
Misty wants to sleep with Tyler.
Yes.
So Misty's singing
Daisy
about Tyler.
Daisy just wants to play music.
What's Tyler want? I don't even remember.
Tyler, I think, is just like having a good time. Mm. I don't know. Like, everyone's just, it's a little bit chaos. Everything's a little bit chaos. I think the reason I get this confused with finally is that it feels similar to me.
Like, oh, yeah.
I get it's a different song, but it does feel a little like you have them all in the car again, and
they do a lot of
overlap. It feels like it's still, this is still
melodies.
Like a setup.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Like, it's still kind of the setup song. And so, yeah, I don't know. They're going to loosen some clothes. They're going to get naked with her, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Listen, they're having fun. That's our next song. And I feel like this also starts a recurring theme of the movie for me of, yes, like Colby singing and just staring pointedly.
Yes.
At Misty's face, at like the side of Misty's head, and singing about wanting to have sex with her, which, like, I will say is not Colby's greatest look. It's a little weird.
Yeah, it's a lot. I'm like, I get it, but it's like, she's like, I like this girl, and like, I'm gonna have my first girl sex tonight with this girl. The duet between them wrecked
my
me.
First girl sex. Wow.
Like, right?
Wow.
Ridiculous. Then they're at the bar, right? So they're like at this bar.
Oh, wait, sorry.
Or do they
go somewhere
else?
We can't get to the bar yet because Monique has another rap.
Oh my God. Before 2 a.m. in 2 a.m.
Yeah.
Yeah, Monique's rapping. Oh my God.
It's incredible. So listen, wait, does Monique have a rap in the first song? Am I just like fever dreaming all of this? I can't keep track anymore.
It's so hard to keep track. So
it's very
if we got it wrong,
track.
Listeners, sorry. We know Monique was rapping at some point, and here it is.
Maybe it's because I literally do like conflate these two songs in my head. Anyways, Monique has a whole rap verse. It's incredible. And yes, then We get to the bar. We've now heard the whole, they tell the whole Angelina Jolie story in this car ride,
my God,
I think.
Yes.
We're- right. So Tyler's just like continuing to invent these lies. She's making up so many things that have never happened and are like, I mean, pretty obvious. Like, Kobe is not a great liar, right? Like, I mean, to a little bit to her credit, she's like too good for this, you know?
Yes.
She's yes, like she's too nice of a person.
Nice and sweet and honest and kind. And
like, you yeah. know, you know how most people like have cool stories and then require somebody else to be like, yeah, come on, Kobe, tell them about Angelina Jolie trying to sleep with you, huh? Yeah. So Angelina Jolie tried to sleep with Kobe. And then Kobe goes, mm-hmm. And then you go, yeah, that's a story I believe right now.
Yeah.
Are you ready to shop? Rakuten's Big Give Week is back. Get 15% back at hundreds of stores, and it's all happening this week, May 6th to May 13th. It's the perfect time to shop for everything on your list for spring and summer, like clothing, outdoor gear, and travel. I know I'm using this week to stock up on some warmer weather essentials at Ray-Ban and Ulta, and I love that Rakuten even helps me save on travel at sites like hotels.com. Rakuten really is the best way to shop, and you can save even more by stacking cash back on top of deals. Plus, during Big Give Week, that cash back is bigger than ever. With Rakuten, membership is free, and when you sign up and shop today, you get an extra 10% cash back boost. That's an extra 10% cash back on top of the 15% cash back. You won't see higher cash back rates than these. Go to Rakuten.com or download the Rakuten app. R-A-K-U-T-E-N. Shoppers get it.
Hey there, this is Justin Bartha. I made a funny new podcast, King of the Egg Cream. It has the greatest cast in the history of podcasts with actors like Louis Black.
I'm torn by my feelings for two women.
Bobby Cannavale.
You can eat it, or if someone hits you, you can put it on your cut.
Melanie Lynskey.
I wonder what these marvelous things are that look just like boiled chicken feet.
Jason Ritter.
I can break things and pick locks and kill people.
Michael Stuhlbarg.
The whole point is to inspire people that they should make themselves better.
Ari Grainer.
No, don't whet its appetite. What are you, an idiot?
Me, Justin Bartha.
That's not just any egg cream, that's a Lemke's special.
And all narrated by the hilarious Richard Kind.
This is the story of Harry Dalowitz. And how he rose from nothing to become New York's King of the Egg Cream.
So if you like funny true stories, come listen to King of the Egg Cream, available wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah, totally. Yeah. Like, Colby looks like exactly the type of person that Angelina Jolie would go for. Yeah. Yeah.
What are you saying about Gabrielle Christian, man? Come on.
No, I'm saying
she's good looking.
She's great looking. I'm just saying she's like literally like so passive.
Yeah. She's also looks like she wants to like be sucked into a black hole
terrified.
Forming inside of her own torso at that moment. Like she's so uncomfortable and so clearly not having anything to do with this story or believing any of it or convincing anybody. It's not great.
Yet they still sort of believe it. I do not know why, but we get like, I think Tyler is supposed to be like so convincing that they're like, oh my God. But whatever. They get to the bar.
Tyler has this whole, this is the pep talk outside of like, you just gotta lie to people. You just gotta lie to girls. All you gotta do is just lie.
That's what I always do. It's so horrible.
It's so bad.
And this is the best song in the whole show, I think.
Yes.
Does something happen before Fantasy, though? What happens before Fantasy? What is the song called? What is it called?
The song is called Fantasy Girl. So we get to this bar and we sort of get this laying out of a little bit of a love triangle here. So Kobe's into Misty, Misty's into Tyler, and they sing this song. It's cute.
It's so cute.
It's cute. They get their little duet. Kobe Don't still makes me cringe.
Teeth, it's just my fantasy.
I know. It's adorable.
The amount of times she says girl sex is right. Isn't that what she says?
First time sex, trampoline sex,
yeah.
hot, sweaty sex. I don't know. Like literally, the amount of times they sing sex in this song is uncomfortable.
My first,
but
time
I love it.
Sex, and you're like, and she's like, wait, you've never slept with a woman? What?
Million. I've done it like a million times with girls. What are you talking about?
Yeah,
like so many.
About?
I've had so many sex times with girls. Yeah. Let me just hide in my hoodie What are you talking about? Very convincing, Colby. So yeah, it's super cute. You get this song where Misty is singing about how, like, I know it's not going to happen, but I just like to, like, fantasize about hooking up with Tyler, right? And then once again, Colby coming in for the kill, where she's like, here's my fantasy. There's this really cute girl that I like, and then we get thrown together this night, this one crazy night.
And then she's actually sitting right next to me at a bar.
Yeah,
yeah. And she has...
No, listen, she's literally saying, like, we get thrown together in this crazy night, me and this girl that I'm totally into, but she's telling me about this other girl that she likes until she realizes that the perfect girl is sitting right
beside
here.
Her. Yep.
Right here, Misty. She's sitting right here looking at you in my fantasy anyways.
Just in a fantasy.
And then we end up on a trampoline and I have first time sex, which, like, as far as lyrics go, there's a point at which lyrics are, like, amazing and then they're, like, not great. And then it, like, loops back around to, like, incredible because of how ridiculous they are. Yep. That's where this show
Yep.
nails it, like, so good. Is you're like, how are you singing the words, we end up on a trampoline and I have first time sex, and I should hate it and I love it.
Yep.
Like, how? Yep. Where? How do you do that?
If Lee Holmes Foster, queen of clever lyrics, is like, I'll accept trampoline first time sex as lyric.
I approve. It's a yes from me, dog. That's what it is.
Oh, God.
They also have these cute, like, a lot of the stuff that happens in the songs is, like, foreshadowing, you know, so you get the, like, we're at a rock show, a really loud rock show, and we need to sneak backstage and find a back room, backstage sex rampage.
Yes, that was a great line. I like that one.
Rampage.
And they're
listen,
like, sex
wait,
rampage.
Hold on.
Page. I also just love how, like,
so they're adorable.
Like, the two of them are so, like, I have the sweetest voice in the world.
They're so wholesome. Like, they're so wholesome. This is the most wholesome sex rampage you'll ever hear about in your life.
It's so wholesome.
I also, same thing with Misty's line, because I do have the lyrics for this one in front of me, and I love Misty's line of, on a beach, in a car, hot fucking sex, she'll never leave.
Yep. Yep.
What is happening? Yeah, this is backstage at a show, my first time sex, trampoline. I just, listen, inject this song straight into my veins.
I love it. It's my favorite song of the whole show.
It's incredible.
It's so ridiculous.
So they're bopping, they're dancing around, they're having their little, like, the other thing that you gotta love about Angela Robinson is, like, the camera shots, the lighting, like, they constantly have these cute, like, you're in a club and so you got all this, like, you know, fun, crazy, colorful lighting around you, but then you get the, like, darkened background with the spotlights right on the two of them, and I'm just like,
give
it to me, whatever.
It's so good.
It's great. They're all, like, fucking pink backlights going, and they're up on a little, like, dance platform, singing at each other about their first time trampoline sex. Like, yeah.
I also feel like a trampoline is not the best place to have your first time sex, but what arena?
No.
You know.
Oh, that's such a recipe for disaster.
Yeah.
How would you even, how?
Yeah.
Don't tell us that. No, do tell us if you've had sex on a trampoline and how it was. Please.
No,
thank you.
No, it's a bad story. It's not. It was not.
I didn't mean you, Ellie. I meant our listeners, but please tell me more.
Sorry. Never mind about that.
No, I really hope you don't edit that out.
I won't.
That was incredible. Okay, so first time sex trampoline. And then what else happens at the bar? We meet fake uncle.
So we meet fake uncle who Sid is going to try to smooze because Sid is that other classic actor type.
You know what I love, though? I feel like even though I know this came out after The L Word, right? Like, she's older now, the actress, than she was on The L Word. I feel like because they're playing, like, college students, I could so convincingly see this as Nikki's backstory.
Oh, yeah.
right? Like, I could see this, where she's like, this is how she, like, gets into, you know, the acting world and everything. I'm sold.
I'm here for it. Yeah, she sleeps with a fake agent, and then it works out somehow.
Yeah, yeah. Somehow.
Yeah, yeah.
And she finally realizes she's super fucking gay.
Yeah.
Yeah, because they don't actually clarify Sid's
sexuality. No, I'm pretty sure Sid... Well, Sid is maybe bisexual, but, like, she definitely, like, she's... Like, I'm going to go get drinks from men. And then she also sleeps with this casting director.
Yeah.
So it wasn't very clear what her sexuality was. You're correct. Like, I saw her.
I'm going with this is Nikki's early days.
Yeah. I saw her.
That's how I want a headcan in my universe.
Straight friends at a gay bar. That's what I saw her as. But who knows?
I love it.
But no, because she also was talking about Tyler, like, too sexually.
Yeah.
She's definitely bi.
I'm going to say bisexual disaster phase right now.
Yeah.
And I'm only saying the bisexual phase because I'm headcanoning her as Nikki, everyone, okay? Not because bisexuality is a phase. That's all. This is just Nikki's phase because clearly she becomes a giant lesbian later in her L-word years. That's all.
Yes.
Okay. Just want to make sure that's clear. Who else do we meet at this bar, Ellie?
The ex.
Oh, yeah. It's time for our next L-word cameo.
Oh my God, who does she play in the L Word? She's the, she dates
She Jane. Plays Molly.
Molly
Kroll, Chancellor Kroll's daughter.
Heads will roll Kroll.
Heads will roll Kroll.
Yep.
Yes, so we meet Zan, is her name in this.
Zan sucks. I hate Zan. And then doesn't this also
Zan's fucking terrible.
When Daisy starts singing the first part of that song, it's like.
Yes. Yes.
Wait, how does it go? I want to try to remember it.
Like when you close your eyes, do you see my face?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
When you close your eyes, do you still see my face? I mean, it's so good.
She says it like a million times.
Yes.
But I love the earnesty that, of just like the second she sees her act, she's like, and I'm singing. That's what's happening here. Sorry.
That's what's happening. I'm having a moment. Sucks. Daisy needs a moment. Zan is the fucking worst. The only person who is worse than Zan is Kelly, who is her new girlfriend, who is terrible. Just terrible. So we meet Zan and Kelly. We start a girl fight.
Girl fight.
Everyone loves a girl fight.
Kicked out.
Yes,
and
they
then
get
who
kicked
comes
out
back?
Of the bar.
Your favorite character, Lee.
Listen, Monique is here to break some windows and dent your car, and then steal your car. Steal your car.
My favorite is that Daisy's like, "Sorry, can I just grab something out of the trunk?"
Yeah.
Sorry, I still have some stuff in there.
Daisy really not tracking what's happening right now, right?
No.
Daisy's like, "But we need our stuff to play in our show," and Monique's like, "What show? This show?" Yep. And, like, throws a flyer at them. I love that she has a flyer for Band Slam.
Yeah, she's like,
I feel like
I'll be in there.
In my head, they just like handed it to her on her way out of jail. They're like, show tonight.
Band Slam tonight. Yeah.
Band Slam. See you there. Here are your shoes. Here's your wallet. Here's a flyer for Band Slam. You know.
Yes.
Yeah. Just like how you do. So Monique steals Colby's car with all their shit in it. In response, Tyler steals Kelly's car. This whole situation is a little chaotic.
Well,
there's a lot of chaos.
It cracks me up though because when you look at the web series, so the Daisy and Tyler are supposed to be criminals in the web series. Like that's like their whole thing.
Is this where their night of crime starts?
Right. So I'm like, maybe this is like where Tyler got the taste for crime. So
Tyler was like, Grand Theft Auto felt so good.
Yeah.
Selling drugs felt incredible.
Yep.
Gotta keep it rolling.
Yep.
It would explain a lot.
It would.
So they start their life of crime. They steal Kelly's car. They immediately find like a stash of drugs in it. Right.
Traps.
I mean, unexplained, but whatever. Kelly's apparently like a drug lord. I'm here for it.
No.
They need to pay Monique back to get their instruments and the car to get to Band Slam. And so they're like, I know how we can quickly make a shit ton of money with a pile full of drugs and a sorority sister.
Go to a sorority. Those sorority girls are ready to party. And that sorority cracks me up because they are literally, you walk in and they're like 0 to 60, right? You walk in, it's like the most dead sorority. They're like, we're having a very quiet sleepover and you didn't show up, Colby. And then they're like, what did you bring to make up for it? What kind of offering do you have? And she's like, party favors. And then they're like, the wildest sorority party you will ever see. They're like lighting up blunts. They're doing so much drugs. It's wild.
They are doing so many drugs. I just love the shot where you meet the sorority sisters because I love two things about it. One, I love sorority houses and sorority sisters in movies where like all they do is sit around their sorority house in their t-shirt, tank top, sweatshirt, hoodie, whatever.
Like you have to know that they're in the sorority.
So instantly recognizable. Every single person is like plastered with in their letters. Sorority letters. Love that. Also, I love any shot in a movie where you're supposed to believe that people just like walked into a room and every single person in that room was having a conversation, all sitting on one side of the
no right because like so like
no one makes
out.
A circle they make like a half arc all facing out of the room
makes sense
for the convenience of the camera shot because I really respect their camera readiness and I just love it.
They were so ready and those sorority sisters crack me up and the main one who plays what's her name in the L Word, she plays Jenny's assistant.
Oh, wait, I missed that. Wait, who is she?
Adele. Her assistant is Adele. Adele Channing. And it's Malaya Rivera-Drew as the actress. So it's the main sorority girl, and she plays Jenny's assistant, like the crazy assistant, Adele.
Lauren Takahashi. Great. Great. Is her sorority sister character's name.
Yes. And she gives some... She's bonkers. She gives some, she's crazy. She
bonkers.
Just turns and she's all on the drugs. And then we see a nice little moment between Misty. Is that the next thing, right? Is Misty?
Yeah,
and
they have the cute Misty Colby conversation about like space camp and about the seasons. The seasons in LA. You just got to know how to read the air and you got to have a good tour guide to show you around all those secret LA spots. And like they're cute. They're flirting.
Cute.
They're so cute. Into it. And it's like they just, those actresses have such good chemistry
with
each other.
They have such good chemistry. It's wild.
Right?
I
mean, what are you
going to
do? Like, they're great together.
You cannot beat it. But then Colby gets this stupid idea to have fake sex with Tyler, right?
Yeah. So that is after, because there's the whole song happens before then. Because they have that cute moment and then Daisy has her meet up with Zan where Zan is brutal. Right? So she meets up with Zan and has this whole thing where she's like, what does Kelly have that I don't have? And
Zan says talent. That stinks.
That's so harsh. Rude. Don't ever say that to anybody ever, listeners.
No.
Just don't. It doesn't even matter if you think it's true or not. You just don't ever say that. It's so harsh.
No. So rude.
So she has that like absolutely knife to the chest conversation. And then she has I'm not gonna say that it's my favorite song as far as the song goes, because I agree. I think that like the 2 a.m. and Fantasy Girl are probably my top choices. But my favorite filming, like my favorite how the song works into the episode is I adore the soulful ballad that you walk into the sorority house and every sorority girl in there is singing backup for you moment.
Yes,
it's so fucking
so
good.
It's hilarious.
It's
and they're
so
just
good.
Like there's like girls who are like not wearing any shirts playing beer pong and like they're still just like, we're all singing.
Yes, and they're all drinking and doing drugs, and it's incredible. And again, we've got some split screens because we're doing like a triple song here where it's like Daisy's singing about Zan. Colby is singing about watching Misty flirting with Tyler. Misty is singing about like Tyler / Colby. Like it's unclear at this point like, who she's really singing about, but we just kind of have this like...
There's this such a weird thing where like Colby's looking at Misty and... is like so jealous of Misty, but like she's holding Tyler's wrist.
It's
like a weird thing for the two of them to be even in that moment together. But whatever.
It's a weird thing. And so, yes, so Colby has this whole plan that she and Tyler need to have fake sex with each other. And she goes to Lauren to ask how to have fake sex. Basically, I choose to believe that somebody was just like, hey, did you know this actress like does a great fake orgasm? And then they were like, let's write it in.
Seriously, she killed it.
She killed it. She's like, but again, this is what I'm saying is like the distance between Lauren Takahashi when they walk into that sorority house and Lauren Takahashi in this scene is like 500
what
miles
happened?
Apart from each other.
Literally.
Just like different people, different humans entirely. Yep. Also, an entirely third different human is the Lauren Takahashi leading the cult thing in the back
God.
Room with the candles and the robes. Like, I don't know what's happening. I don't even know.
There's a lot happening in the sorority house. There's a lot going on.
There's so much happening.
But Lauren Takahashi is a good friend. She pulls Misty into this weird cult thing so that she, well, I guess good friend is relative, but she did what Colby wanted her to do. So she caused the distraction for Colby to have fake sex with Tyler, but I will say they're making out pretty real.
You're like half naked making out in a bed together. This is not what fake sex looks like, Colby.
Fake. People were saying in the watch party, like, isn't this the plot to Easy A? I'm like, yeah, when they had fake sex in Easy A, they were jumping on the bed together.
Yeah, they're just sitting in a room together, like making noise.
Making
this is a little bit more than that.
You are making out. And just like making whatever sounds and noises you want to make, but you are on top of each other making out.
But it's also like there is like some volume behind some of the things that Colby is yelling, right?
Oh,
where she's
not
like,
loud
"Oh
enough.
Yes, Tyler."
Yeah, they're not loud enough.
And then other things, she's just like whispering to Tyler. And I'm like, what is happening right now? Like, this is not your plan.
Yes.
This is not the first time trampoline sex you are looking for, Colby. Like, these are not the droids.
And we also get the wrong person walking in. So Daisy walks in on them instead of Misty.
Yeah.
Ridiculous.
Everything quickly devolves from here. So, like, Daisy walks in instead. She gets pissed at Tyler. Misty goes to try to, like, kiss Tyler, and Tyler like throws her off of her aggressively. So then like Misty's upset. So then we have Daisy's upset, Tyler's upset, Misty's upset. Monique shows up. Monique's upset.
Monique is more than upset.
Yeah. Sid is trying to hook up with the fake uncle. The fake uncle steals the money that Tyler just made from all the drugs they sold. Like, everything is chaos. Everything is bad. And basically, the girls all end up in college jail, which for some reason has, like, a full-on...
Full jail.
Like, full sheriff's department jail
did you
cell
ever,
clink. Like,
I'm like, did you ever get... I'm not arrested, but, you know, like... If you got in trouble at school, like, did you ever get in trouble in college? Probably not.
not to the level that, like, campus security would have gotten involved.
Then. Yeah. Because I'm like, even, like, you know, if you were, like, underage drinking, they would come around and they would,
yeah,
like...
Yeah, which neither of us did in college, I'm sure.
I would
right?
never do that.
Never.
But if I did it, then they would have given me a citation and then I would have...
If I did it, my RA would have disapprovingly told me to, like, go back to my room and, like, go to sleep.
But to be fair, I guess I never got in a girl fight on campus. So I don't know what would have happened if that that had gone down. But I also don't think we had a jail at my college. I just
who has this? And even if you do, like, even if you have, like, if your campus security has, like, an office somewhere and, like, maybe they'll bring you in there, they don't have... Like a fucking jail cell. What is this? It's like a holding cell. Like, I don't know. It's crazy.
It works for the movie. It works for the movie.
It works for the movie. It's a great scene. They get picked up by Colby and Daisy's mom, who is the worst.
The worst.
Right? The worst. And we get, our next song. And like, again, just like, what a great fucking song. What a great fucking filming. Like, the filming of this, of the traffic song, so good. The lighting, just like them walking through the cars and the lights flashing behind them and like the colors of it. It's just, It's well done, man.
They did some really great car songs.
They really do. And I just like Angela Robinson's
style.
Shots, like the style and everything. Yeah. It's just like, it's good. It's a good song. Good moment. I don't even remember what they're singing about. Who cares? It's just great.
It's great.
They're singing about traffic. I don't know. They're singing about, hold on, I'll look up some lyrics so we can talk about it. Oh, red light, green light. Yeah. Whoa.
Yeah, I do
remember the song.
Brilliant. Brilliant.
They're talking about like the future is a ghost and here I am stuck in traffic, right? Like,
oh,
count to 10, trying not to panic. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
It's good.
Damn, it's so good.
It's
but
good.
Then they end up walking off
to
of
find
the
highway. Car. They just find Colby's
to
car.
To find the car. Well,
yeah. Monique drove it there. Sure.
Well, I think it made sense that they found the car because, yeah, Monique drove it to the sorority house and then left it at the sorority house because she got arrested. So they walk back to the sorority house knowing that the car was there.
Yes. They find the car. On the way, Tyler has like a little heart-to-heart with Misty where she's like, hey, this was all my stupid idea because I am a terrible person who does not know how to form relationships with anybody. Great. Good job, Tyler. Growing a little as a person. You love to see it.
Yep. Well, because Misty finds out that Colby slept with Tyler too, right? And she's pissed.
Yes.
Well,
Misty hears about the like fake hooking up and everything.
Yeah.
I think that happens in the jail, right?
Yeah.
You get this confrontation. So, yeah. So Tyler's trying to clean up her messes. And then Monique gets out of jail again.
Again.
Don't know.
Always.
Don't know.
Overcrowding.
Yeah. Overcrowding. And then it's time for
Band Slam.
You've
been waiting all night.
We have been waiting.
Girl
Band Slam.
All night long.
Kelly's band sucks.
Kelly, supposed to have talent, and I'm like, no, your song does not even slap even half as hard.
No,
as
a lot of flame kills it. But it's a good thing Kelly's band sucks because they at least provide the backdrop for the like heart-to-heart between Colby and Misty,
mm-hmm.
which like also I love because I love this scene where they're having this like deep conversation during a rock show. And they're just like talking like this, like at approximately this volume with each other, you know?
It's like, you could never do this.
Yeah, please. I'm like, and again, you get that, like, the rest of the lights go down and they're spotlit kind of, you know, having this whole conversation with each other about, like, starting over. And, like,
I know, they're like,
get each other.
Yeah, and they're like, well, how am I going to trust you again? What if we just start from the beginning? Nice to meet you. Let's make out.
I'm Colby. I'm Misty. My tongue is in your mouth. Yeah.
My favorite meet cute. Hi. Hi. Let's make out.
Let's make out. And they do. They make out. It's super cute. They start running around to go have their backstage sex rampage.
Yeah.
While A Lot of Flame goes on and like absolutely
I'm also
fucking
crying,
kills it.
Laughing. A Lot of Flame. They have when they get the check at the end. Because if you say it fast, A Lot of Lame.
Yeah.
Right? It's just like such a good name.
It's a great name.
Like, just like so many things in this film, like, just like so specifically stupid and great.
It's just chaotic. It's chaotic and I love it. So they sing their song. They win Band Slam. Misty and Colby have what I think we decided during the Patreon watch is the most disappointing first time sex because I think it all occurs in the amount of time that it takes Daisy and Tyler to like crowd surf briefly at the end of the song and then get back on stage. And so we're like, that is
maybe 2 minutes, maybe
a
three,
lot of time,
five.
Which like makes me sad for you, Colby and Misty. But like, you'll get better. You've got time, you know?
It's okay. I'm assuming like they have sex multiple times up there. You know what I mean?
But in what time? In what time?
No, I'm
There's
saying
no time.
After the film has concluded.
Oh,
you know
okay,
I mean?
Sure. Let's go with like, that. Yeah. That's just like their warm-up round.
Because they end the movie basically up there naked, right? They don't ever come
down. They don't
down.
Come back down. Yeah. So good. Maybe that's just round one.
That
I
was just
prefer
the warm-up.
That.
Yeah, that's just
that's
the warm-up.
That's good. They so A Lot of Flame wins Band Slam. They get a check. They hand the check to Monique. The end.
That's literally it.
Like, the end of this movie.
Well,
what a chaotic ride.
And you have Colby and Misty just like naked in the top. Also, the fact that there's just like a mattress up there.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. They just
like,
went around
perfect.
Backstage until they found somewhere to do it. Listen, they
it's
were
perfect.
Not going to be deterred from their backstage sex rampage.
They found a mattress in the rafters.
And I respect them for that.
So that is the end of the film. What are your thoughts on this film, Lee? I mean, we've talked
movie.
About it for a long time.
I know. But. And I feel like we really got a lot of our discussion out in the middle of that. So I feel like I don't have like a ton more that I feel like I need to harp on too much other than to say, like, it's delightful. It's everything I want. It ticks all my boxes. Like, is this like high quality cinema? This is not theater. This is just fun. It's a fun movie to watch. It's a ton of fun. Like, if you're gonna hold this up to like, listen, is this Portrait of a Lady on Fire? No, it's not. It's not. But is it more fun in some ways?
Yes.
Yeah.
In some ways, Lee, Portrait of a Lady on Fire is not a fun movie.
Well, but that's what I'm saying. It's like, it's Portrait of a Lady on Fire, I enjoy watching like as a film. Like, it's a beautifully made film. And I find that fun in its own way.
Yes.
It's not like, you don't watch it and sit there the whole time being like, I'm enjoying myself so much. It's not that. Yeah. This is that,
it's
right?
Like, it's a guilty pleasure. It's like a, hey, I'm sad. Let me watch this movie and cheer myself
up. It would cheer
me up. It's like a Parks and Rec. It's like a, you know what I mean? Like, it's like, it's just silly. It's fun. It like doesn't take itself too seriously.
And the things that it does do, like, it commits to. And everyone in the movie commits with it, you know? Like, that's, I agree. Like, the acting in this is so, like, it's selling it, you know?
Oh, yeah.
Like, they commit to the bit, and I commend them for it.
I appreciate it. We also get a happy ending.
Yes.
Which I'm here for. Like,
yes.
I just love it. I think it's so fun and silly and... just like, yeah, just makes you smile. So if you have not seen Girl Trash and you've listened to us talk about it, please watch it.
It's so good. We can't do it justice. Just telling you how delightfully bonkers it is. It's not the same as like going along for the ride. You gotta watch it.
You have to experience it. All right, are you ready for our Q and Gay?
I'm so ready.
Let's do this.
Q and Gay.
All right, question number one, Lee. Who would you rather date? A, Daisy, B, Tyler, C, Colby, or D, Misty?
Could you imagine if I said Tyler?
Oh my God, how would I?
I would probably say Colby. Mm. That's so much more my type, right?
Yeah.
What about you?
Sweetie. I don't know. It's definitely not Tyler. You're correct. I feel like it's between Colby and Misty for me.
I mean, I feel like they're the best options.
Because like, I do love Daisy. I would be best friends with Daisy, but that is chaos.
I have an important question before the next question.
Yes.
We need a ship name for Colby and Misty.
Mm.
Molby?
Molby, yeah. It's not really great.
Colsty?
Sisty.
Sisty?
Like, they don't go together well. Colsty.
They're all bad.
They're not good. So we'll just say Colby and Misty.
I'm going with Molby.
All right, great.
Okay, question two, Ellie. Who do you ship more? A, Spashly, or B, Molby?
So I think I told you this at the watch party. I have watched compilation videos of South of Nowhere, but I have not seen the whole show.
Really disappointing.
But I pretty much watched like every scene that the two of them were in. Like, that's it. I just didn't watch anything else. I feel like they were a little too toxic for me in South of Nowhere.
They're terrible. They're all insane. Everyone in that show is crazy.
I'm going to have to go with B, Molby, because I love the chemistry between those two actors. And now we get to see them in like this cute little kind of thing where I feel like there was just too much high school craziness going on in South of Nowhere. Yeah.
So true.
Even though I ship those two actors together in anything they do because their chemistry is unreal. But all right. Question number three. What's more unhinged? A, fake uncle, B, fake sex, C, GTA, or D, drug lords?
Oh, man. I feel like, despite everything, I still have to go with fake sex. I feel like that's such a, you know why? Because I feel like that one feels like the most realistic way that people are going to, like, destroy their friendships.
Yeah,
don't
and
do
also
it.
The particular one, they went too far because it was like not even fake.
I think that's why. It's not like fake sex in general. It's like the fake sex in this movie.
The fake sex that happened.
Is like, that's gonna ruin some lifelong friendships there. So don't do that. Question four, Ellie. A real attack on this one. What's your favorite Girl Trash song out of 2 a.m., Fantasy Girl, It's All Right, or Traffic.
I love Fantasy Girl. That song gets stuck in my head. That's good. Yep. What about you, Lee? Fantasy Girl too?
I mean, it's a toss up between 2 a.m. or Fantasy Girl for me. I don't know.
All right, question number 5. There were a lot of them. Who's the best L word cameo? A, Monique, B, Zan, C, Sid, or D, Lauren?
There is one right answer, and that answer is Monique.
I knew it.
There's no other answer for this. Come on.
I mean, she's insane. I love her. Pretty wild.
Yes, but it's still Monique for me.
Monique. Remember, you can give us your own answers to this episode's Q&A questions on our Twitter at Let's Hang Out Pod. Before we sign off, we have to also tell our drinking game rules for Girl Trash, which I will say, please drink responsibly. Do not do all of these. It will get you way too wild. Drink water if you want to, but it's just a fun thing that you can do. All right, so here we go. I'm going to tell you our drinking game rules. 1, anytime Monique shows up. Anytime they start a new song. Anytime Colby flirts badly. Anytime Daisy mentions the show they have to play at, Band Slam. Anytime there's a split screen. Anytime Daisy mentions her ex, Zan. Anytime they mention Colby coming out. You're not really gay, Colby. Anytime they're all together in the car. Like, you will get drunk.
Listen, we've written some rough drinking game rules in the past. We've outdone ourselves, I think.
This one's tough. But please, yeah. If you do them with your friends, if you have a fun little party, make sure you send us some pictures
or tweet at us.
We would love to see it. You can tag us at Let's Hang Out Pod.
And make sure you stick around to the end of the episode. We are going to be playing our original song for Girl Trash. It's called Fantasy.
Let me hear you say hip, 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 well, yeah.
We love hearing from all of you, and we love continuing to build this community, so we just want to shout out some of our favorite things, and we are going to keep it rolling since we have extended our campaign for crowdfunding Journey to the Heart, and thank everybody who has donated since last week. So this week, we need to say a huge, huge thank you to Megan,
Catherine,
Sarah,
William,
Coralie,
Catherine,
Alice,
Sarah,
Andrew,
Durr,
Eric,
Amber,
Levi,
Araya,
and Marta. Thank you all so much. And thank you to everybody who has donated or who has shared or told somebody about it. We are just so, so grateful. It really, every little bit helps us make this show happen.
And a reminder that we are still crowdfunding for the next 20-ish days. So you can help us at bit.ly/supportjourneytotheheart.
And we need to thank, as always, our Lesbian Jesus patrons, Mark Foster,
Jess Klaus,
Tanya Ferguson,
Jacqueline Rosashino,
Sarah and Julia,
Danny Gunluck Tamora,
Brittany Ray,
Alana Rosen,
Lizette Stye,
Stacy,
Adi Benitez,
Fiona W.,
Whitney Lennon,
and Jennifer Trujillo.
And our King Princess patrons, Amy and Ellen,
Leah Henley,
Liz Chen,
Julia Gonzalez,
and Ashley White. Thank you all so much, and thank you to everybody who supports our Patreon. It helps us keep making this show.
Remember, you can also find us on all the social medias, Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter at Let's Hangout Pod.
You can email us at letshangoutpod@gmail.com.
Or check out our website at letshangoutpod.com.
And you can check out our Dollar Bean Productions site for all the musicals we're working on at dollarbeanproductions.com.
Whatever app you use for podcasts, make sure you subscribe so you'll be the first to know when new episodes drop.
And make sure that you've listened to all the episodes of The Flame. They are available anywhere you listen to podcasts.
We're also posting videos on our YouTube channel, so make sure you subscribe at youtube.com/letshangoutpod to catch them.
If you want to help support the podcast, you can leave us a rating and a review on Apple Podcasts. It helps new people find the podcast.
If you want to support us on Patreon and join us for our Les Essentials watch parties, you can do that at bit.ly/lespatreon.
You can also help support our Dollar Bean Productions with all of the musicals we're working on. That includes getting The Flame up on stage in New York in the fall and making our next musical, Journey to the Heart. You can find that at bit.ly/dollarbeanpatreon.
If you want to get some Les Hangout merch, you can do that at our merch store at bit.ly/lesshop. It is the perfect time for you to get all of your pride tanks and tees, and even maybe a little lesbian tote bag.
Oh, yeah. If you want to follow us individually, you can find me on Instagram, Twitter, and TikTok at LSH Foster.
And you can find me on Instagram, Twitter, and TikTok at Ellie Brigida. With that, I'm Ellie.
And I'm Lee. And let's hang out again soon.
Let's hang out.